This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Lisa Mullins. Discussions around the allegations of sexual assault against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh have raised issues about teenagers and sexual assault, accountability, and sex education. Sex ed is not uniform in Massachusetts schools. It's not required to be taught, and the guidelines for health education haven't been updated since 1999. One program that does teach teenagers about sexuality is run by Planned Parenthood. The Get Real Teen Council trains peer educators in 10th grade through 12th. They go to schools and community organizations and offer workshops. We spoke with Planned Parenthood League of Massachusetts Manager of Youth and Professional Education, Shira Khan Lipman, about her concerns about what messages young people are getting from the Kavanaugh controversy, especially around issues such as consent.
In my experience, a lot of the young people that we're working with have heard a lot of really mixed messaging. Messaging like, boys will be boys, girls lie, sexual assault only happens to girls. And it frames consent and sexuality in this very boys versus girls conversation, as opposed to being what it is, which is a human issue. And I think that when we think of consent education, it's really playing a role not only in preventing sexual assault and misconduct, but it's helping to create a culture in which survivors are believed and supported, and also in which young people feel like they have the information they need and the resources they need to lead healthier and safer lives.
So that's the big picture and kind of the end result. In the beginning, as you teach about consent, it goes way beyond the idea of no means no. What do you teach them about that? How do you teach it?
In our Get Real Teen Council, for example, our young people go into their community and they use the acronym USE to support people in understanding consent.
How does that work?
So the acronym USE. So U is unmanipulated, S is sober, E is enthusiastic. And so when we're using consent, we're acknowledging that consent requires an unmanipulated, sober, and enthusiastic yes. So again, it's not something that someone is going to owe someone else. It can't be something that is inactive. We're teaching them how to name their own boundaries, but we're also supporting them in understanding that we're talking about respecting the boundaries of other people, and that part of that is potentially accepting rejection.
Does this mean that you're teaching that everyone is expected to ask permission and get a clear yes in every situation of sexual contact?
What it means is that there has to be active consent between those people. What it can't be is this sort of false narrative that sex is just quote unquote something that happens, that people just kind of fall into it and nothing happened prior to that, no decisions were made. And so owning that decision making, and part of that might be if it feels authentic to someone to turn to another person and to say, do you want to have sex? And to have that person say, yes, I want to have sex, that would be very consensual. But also that could look like, I want to touch your body, is that okay?
So when you talk about young people, I mean, it could be really young in many of these cases. That sounds, at least in our minds, I think, so antithetical to what really happens. I mean, when, you know, kids might be drinking or at a party and they have this idea, I mean, it's hard to think of them sorting it out using that terminology.
Well, I think that that's why we try to simplify it with unmanipulated, sober, and enthusiastic. There's a reality of consent education when we really break it down is something that we have been taught from an incredibly young age. When we talk to little kids and we tell them that they have to hug a relative, we're giving them messages about their bodily autonomy and about consent. So when we provide people the multiple opportunities that they have throughout their lives to think about what it means to own your own body and what it means to set healthy boundaries, by the time we get to those moments where people are navigating potentially riskier or more intense situations, they have those skills.
If someone's listening and they're thinking, geez, you know, I really want my child to hug their Uncle Bill, what do you say? I mean, what do you say without making it feel like, you know, that 7-year-old is losing his or her autonomy?
I think it's an opportunity to say to that 7-year-old, do you want to hug Uncle Bill? And if the 7-year-old says not right now,
then you get really embarrassed.
Or you just say, how about a high five? How about a fist bump? How about a thumbs up? How about, what are you comfortable with? And then acknowledging that if Uncle Bill really, really wants that hug, that maybe later you'll want to give that hug.
Could you give us an example of how you present material in a medically factual, age-appropriate way? Because you're dealing with young people of all different ages.
So, for example, one of the activities is called High Five Hug Handshake. And in that activity, we ask all of the young people in the room to stand up and to walk around and to ask one another for a high five, a hug, or a handshake. They get to choose. And then the young people who they're asking have the right to say no. They have the right to say yes and do whatever was asked for, or they have the right to say no, but I'd be super cool with a, and then insert whatever they would be comfortable with. And we do this game with 7th through 12th graders. And then when we process the game and we say, you know, how did that feel? The universal response is, it felt a little awkward. And usually the reason for that is that folks name, you know, we're not used to asking to touch other people. We're not used to engaging in this way. One of the things that comes up in the game all the time is, even though I was saying no to a high five, I felt like I was being rude. And that's not a gendered response. That's across a very diverse range of young people that we're working with.
That doesn't come more from young women than young men.
No, that is a response I've heard from almost every audience in every class where we've taught that lesson, 7th through 12th grade. And so consent education and comprehensive sex education are so important because they provide low-risk spaces for young people to practice these life skills.
Shira, thank you.
Absolutely.
Shira Khan-Lipman is Manager of Youth and Professional Education for Planned Parenthood League of Massachusetts.